Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Family, Jim R., sorry, and I will be working with Marge, and the two of us will be taking the minutes during the meeting. Question. Who is here for the first time? Your first business meeting. Wonderful. Wow. That's a large turnout. And yeah, let's have a round of applause for ourselves. The morning is going to begin with a refresher course on how the delegates work within this production. And Aaron is the coordinator for the delegate training program. Has anyone here been online for the trainings that took place a few weeks ago? Great, so I see about five or six. Oh, and while I'm welcoming you to this event, I'm also welcoming people around the globe who might be tuning in to follow the proceedings and also be a part of it. For the first time, we will have remote voting and commenting, so people all over the planet will be participating in this event, which is kind of, you know, it's a small step for technology, but a big step for ACA. Yay, yay, yay. And a big round of applause for Jim B., who is spearheading the whole effort. He's back in the corner. So are there any questions in general about how this is unfolding? I wanted to just sort of begin to kick things off. We're on a schedule, but I thought that the room might be a little fuller at this point, but I think we're just going to begin. And Aaron, are you? We're going to begin with, oh, yes, a few announcements. Thank you, Frederick. If you are working on a laptop, will you please be on that side of the room? The right side, facing the stage. Right now we don't have extension cords for charging, but if you need to charge your computer through the day, it'll be set up during lunch or at some break time. On that side. So if you want to plug in, that's the place to do it. Please take a seat over there. Additionally, bathrooms. Who knows where there's a bathroom? Yay. I see about like 2% of the room raising their hand. If you go out this little hallway and to the left and down to the left, basically head to the left and you will find a bathroom down there. Additionally, there is a coffee in this long passageway. There's a couple of stations. The station to the right has some sandwiches and things in front, and that is actually for a different function. So please don't avail yourself of any of the food there. If you'd like coffee, again, as you go out to the hallway, to the right, or you'll be going that way, so it'll be to the left. I think that's it for now, but there will be other announcements as they kind of come to mind. Is everyone excited? Yes?
One suggestion that I just saw is if you want to listen to the translations, you have to download the Zoom app on your smartphone and have
Yeah.
Yes, hello everyone. There was no plan, as far as I know, to do a translation during the ABC. We will be offering those during the AWC for the workshops.
So to be clear, this program will be in English unless you're sitting next to someone who can quietly translate for you. And then over the weekend with the recovery programs and other programs, there will be some translation happening. All right, again, welcome. I will be talking to you all in a little bit. And here is Erin.
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna try to juggle holding this and this at the same time. I'm Erin, I'm from the Delegate Training Subcommittee, thank you. And this is my third year on here. This is my second year giving this particular orientation, and just when you think you know what you're doing, you're ready to give the service up to somebody else. So hopefully I know what I'm doing by now. We're gonna go into your binder, and you're going to go to page 8. You'll see delegate information, the delegate binder. Okay, and we're gonna start with a commitment to service, which is what we're all doing here today. And I'm gonna ask a little exercise question first. I know we have some people standing in the back, and I'm actually gonna ask people to stand and sit at certain points. So I don't know if everybody can have a seat, or we'll just assume the people in the back are not necessarily part of the quiz. Okay, so can I have all the delegates standing? Okay, if you have attended 4 annual business conferences, sit down, including this one, yeah. If you have attended 3, can you sit down? If you have attended 2, can you sit down? Okay. So now I want a show of hands. How many have attended a teleconference? Even if you're sitting down, you can raise your hand on that. What? No, the delegate training subcommittee teleconferences that were in April. I'm sorry, thank you for clarifying that. Okay. All right. And you can put your hands down. How many here have gone on to the website and looked at the frequently asked questions, getting started, and before, during, and after delegate training educational documents? Okay, nice show of hands there. All right. And how many people have looked at this binder already before today? Okay, all right, great. And let's see. So the people that are standing have had some training, but this is their first ABC, correct? Okay, so now I'm gonna have you guys sit down. And one of the things we had last year and this year was a buddy program. So it was, if you felt really unfamiliar to things and you just wanted to be able to check in with somebody, ask some questions during the breaks, there would be somebody for you to do that. So what I'm going to ask is that the people that have been to 2 or more of the ABCs and feel fluent enough to answer questions for our first-timers, our newcomers, would you please stand up? Okay. So these are the people, and if you can kind of turn around for everybody to see your faces, these are the people that are willing to answer questions for you during breaks, whenever you might want to, you know, find them on Slack or get a number from them so that you can go back and forth and answer some questions. Okay. Thank you for your service. And then I'll do one more show of hands. Is there anybody that knows that they're going to want a buddy? Okay. Okay, we have two people that know, three people, four people that know that they're going to want that. Okay. All right, great. So our older people saw our younger people, we'll put it that way. Maybe it could be a young person again. Okay. All right, so got that one. So we're going to go into spiritual principles. When we look at the ACA commitment to service, spiritual principles of our steps, traditions, concepts, and commitment to service are the backbone of our program. Staying true and being guided by them provides safety to the existence of our fellowship. The steps, traditions, concepts, and commitment to service weave together a spiritual solution, the formation of a spiritual program. One of my favorite sayings is, alone we go fast, but together we go far. I am on page 8. The ACA commitment to service. That's not in your book. That's just me. That's just me. I didn't want to bore you with just what's written here, so try to throw in some stuff. Okay, so I perform service so that my program will be available for myself, and through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by, 1, affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meetings and is expressed through our higher power and through group conscience. So the true power through our higher power and group conscience. And we're going to keep coming back to showing you how the steps and the concepts and the traditions all weave together to make that backbone of our program, and what our position as delegates, how we work that. Confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion, showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience so that the decision is reflective of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority. And in number 2, we are reflective of the 5th concepts, which really talks about showing special sensitivity to that minority opinion. And how when we listen to that minority opinion through the voting process, so a vote was taken, the majority ruled, the minority is then asked to speak. So they get a rebuttal. They get to say, well, I don't think you guys really thought about this. I'd like you to really consider that. And another vote is taken. And when that second vote, if that second vote is taken, and I'll go into more of how that process works, but if that second vote is taken, that is when we're asked to become open-minded and rethink the situation from someone else's viewpoint. And that's the moment that the higher power's presence can enter into the spirit of the group. Okay, so we're going to come back to that quite a bit. Number 3, placing principles before personalities. There we go to our traditions. Number 4, keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as a member of the program. So working my recovery, always important to the process of making decisions. 5, striving to facilitate the sharing of experience, strength, and hope at all levels, meetings, intergroups, regional committees, service boards, and world service. And number 6, this is the ratification process, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their abilities. We'll find that in just our open-mindedness to people that are doing service. None of us are perfect. And there we go, number 7, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly. And those spiritual concepts, self-love, for love for self and others, tolerance, compassion, humility, that we are accepting of each other, of our mistakes, that we're going to learn from whatever happens that we don't agree with or we don't like or didn't work out, that we're going to use that to grow and not to just criticize each other and and such. Number eight, being willing to surrender the position in which I serve in the interest of unity. There's your first tradition. And to provide the opportunity for others to serve, to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behavior, especially in taking care of others, controlling, rescuing, being a victim, and whatever other laundry list trait's going to appear. And number nine, remembering I am a trusted servant, I do not govern. So humility, anonymity, letting go, and that loving power, that loving higher power as an ultimate authority. So I'm going to read from our Big Red Book, page 535, and this is just one of the paragraphs that has always been important to me to think about. Many of us arrive at ACA wounded and angry. We hurt, so we want to hurt others. However, no one has the right to harm anyone in ACA. We must avoid our misguided attempt to recreate our dysfunctional family system through the ACA group. Angry or disruptive members are usually acting out their family role, unknowingly reconstructing their dysfunctional family setting. Some of us can relate to this claim. We realized that our disruptive behavior allowed us to blame the group. We could avoid working on ourselves by blaming group members for imagined wrongs and slights. The tolerance we found in ACA allowed many of us to change. Experience shows that our groups have met these situations without forming special committees. The groups have used common sense and assertiveness to handle each situation. And that first paragraph really speaks to me about the spiritual principle of compassion. Just remembering that none of us are perfect. We're all may have some hurt, and that comes out. So we're going to go to page 9. We're going to look at the 12 traditions and meditations. And remembering that the 12 traditions are how we interact with each other. So I was going to see. I'll just read them. I was going to have other people read them, but I think I'll just go through them. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on ACA unity. Actually, let's see if it's loud enough and people can hear. Maybe I'll ask for a volunteer kind of from the center of the room to read Tradition 1 meditation. Anybody willing? Okay.
Program and my own recovery depends upon my willingness to put the group's welfare above my own. Help me recognize unity.
So tradition 2, for our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. And we're going to think about the commitment to service from page 8, numbers 1, 2, and 9. For our group, tradition 2, meditation, higher power, I understand that you make your voice heard in a group conscience. I ask you to remind me that the life of my program, and therefore my own recovery, depends upon my willingness to put the group's welfare above my own will. Where I disagree with the common view of my fellows in service, allow me to state my case honestly and respectfully. Allow me to listen to and consider the views of others. May I state my view and support all group decisions, including the ones I might disagree with. Your will, not mine, be done. So concept 1, the final responsibility lies in the collective consciousness of the whole fellowship. And on our commitment to service, number 1, the true power rests in the membership expressed in the group conscience. This tradition meditation reflects concept number 2, inclusion, not exclusion, that we listen to the minority with special sensitivity. And number nine, I do not govern. I'm a trusted servant, that the higher power is the ultimate authority. And then tradition three, the only requirement for membership in ACA is a desire to recover from the effects of growing up in an alcoholic or otherwise dysfunctional family. And the commitment to service, number two, again, speaking to inclusion, not exclusion, and that special sensitivity to the minority. Higher power, help me recognize my desire to recover from the effects of growing up in a dysfunctional home. Give me the willingness to attend meetings to recover from these effects. I participate in ACA because I want to change and help others. And that's what this annual business conference is about. Thank you for leading me to these rooms where I belong. Thank you for giving me the courage to walk into an ACA meeting and stay and find my place. I am finally home. I finally know where I fit. Tradition four, each group is autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or ACA as a whole. We cooperate with all other 12-step programs. Higher power, help my home group remain focused on the 12-step process of recovery while still having its own personality and flavor. When the actions and decisions of my group might affect ACA as a whole, may we find the spirit of cooperation and a willingness to seek help from the ACA service structure. My group is autonomous, but it is not alone. Tradition five, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. And the meditation being higher power, help me remember that ACA has one primary purpose, which centers the fellowship and which simplifies most discussions. Help me remember to ask myself a simple question when I am doing the business of ACA. Does what we are about to do support the primary purpose of carrying the ACA message to another adult child needing help? In tradition six, we're gonna go right back into the commitment to service, number eight. An ACA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And you're gonna see that back in number eight from the commitment to service, about avoiding problems of money, property, prestige. Higher power, grant me the wisdom to know when a group project will carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer, or will direct group energy away from carrying the message. Guide us away from discussions about property, prestige, or endorsing causes that are not ACA. Give me the courage to speak clearly and thoughtfully for what I believe honors tradition six. Seven, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Higher power, I am here to do your will. Help me give for the right reason with the right amount. Help me remember that I have a different life today because of ACA. May I be willing to give back what was freely given to me. May I claim spiritual ownership in this fellowship. And tradition seven, again, we're going to see in many ways of giving, and one of the ways of giving is your being here. Tradition eight, commitment to service, number six, how we each function according to their own abilities. Adult children of alcoholics should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Higher power, remind me that the direction of our program comes from the ACA members and the groups. Remind me that we must make our own decisions. Guide us when we discuss the need to hire special workers that will help us fulfill ACA's primary purpose. Grant us the wisdom to make the best decisions for our groups, service structure, and our fellowship as a whole. Tradition nine, as such, ACA ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. And in number eight, the commitment to service, avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my own behaviors. In tradition nine's meditation, higher power, may I remember that ACA and its meeting and service structure are different than my family of origin. May I be patient and avoid reaching for the easiest way out when I am confronted with a difficult situation. Help me and my ACA group ask for help in keeping our meetings safe and recovery oriented. Help us celebrate the things that we do right. So very relevant to being patient and not reaching for the easiest way out as motions come up and things become discussed. Tradition 10, adult children of alcoholics has no opinion on outside issues, hence the ACA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. The meditation helped me honor ACA's primary purpose and focus my sharing in meetings on topics of recovery, helped me remember ACA is a spiritual program, not a political, religious, or other type of program. Tradition 11, public relations policies based on attraction rather than promotion. We maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and other public media. And higher power, I ask you to guide me in maintaining my anonymity at the level of all media, because no one speaks for ACA or gives the appearance of speaking for ACA. We attract others to ACA by our good works and the good word of others. Help me discern when I might break my anonymity for a suffering adult child looking for a way out of confusion. This person might be a coworker or a family member. Help me know when to share some of my story or when to remain quiet and maintain my anonymity. May I avoid speaking out of turn or using my ego to share with people who may not be interested in ACA. At the same time, give me the courage to share this program when the moment is right. And tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And the commitment to service number 3 again. Higher power, help me see the connecting thread that anonymity brings to the ACA program. Give me the willingness that I need to practice the ACA principles instead of a false self personality. So in tradition 12, in the Big Red Book on page 549, there are 3 questions, and I'm going to read this being very relevant to us over the next 2 days. I often ask myself a question before I speak, especially if my inner child is getting restless and wants to blurt out something. I ask, will what I say promote unity and clarity, or am I using my personality to control or manipulate others? Do I want to do the most good for the most people, or do I want to help only a few or just myself? So humility, anonymity, surrendering our egos in this process. So the 12 concepts, I'm going to go over just the ones that would seem most relevant to the decisions that we will be making over the next couple days. And so concept 1, final responsibility and ultimate authority residing in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. And you can see that weaved right back into the traditions and the commitment to service. Concept 2, that authority is driven by the members. The active maintenance of the world service is hereby delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience for our whole fellowship. And number 3, we have in 3, 4, and 5, the 3 rights that we consider. We have the right of decision, which is 3, the right of participation, number 4, and the right of petition, which is number 5. And I will come back to referring to them a lot. As a delegate, you know, you are using that right of decision to give your group's opinion on whatever motion might be made or proposal be discussed. And 4, your right of participation to voice that. And in concept 5, that right of petition again, showing special sensitivity to the minority opinion, that throughout our structure, that right of petition prevails. And on concept 6, the annual business conference has the principal responsibility for the maintenance of our world services. It also recognizes that the chief initiative and active responsibility in most of these matters would be exercised primarily by the trustee members of the World Service Organization. Number 7, that we rely on the force of tradition and the power of the ACA purse, which means the force of tradition and the financial situation is relied on for the final effectiveness of decisions that may be made over the next couple days. And concept 8, that the world servants, the trustees, are the principal planners and administrators, and they and their primary committees directly manage these affairs. So I definitely encourage you to read over the other concepts, but those ones are going to be kind of most relevant to decisions you're making as delegates. And concept 12, I think there's just so much great spirituality in that. And it reflects over and over to the traditions, 6, 7, and 8, and the concepts that we never become the seat of perilous wealth or power, that there's never an unqualified authority over other members, that we always come to reach decisions by discussion and vote, and substantial unanimity is typically the best way to come to decisions, and that we are never personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy, that we are always working our own recovery. Okay. Do we have any questions about the concepts before we move on? The 12 concepts? Is it available as a Word doc, Jim? So it was posted as a PDF. It is available as a Word doc. Okay. Okay. All right. So on your page 13, Robert's Rules of Order, Parliamentary Procedure as a guide in resolving disputes, but the ultimate authority shall be the group conscience. That although we use Robert's Rules of Order as a guide here to resolving disputes, what we really rely on as adult children of alcoholics are our steps, traditions, concepts, and commitment to service. The ABC, the annual business conference, this is pretty much stuff we already know. I just thought it would be really helpful to put it in the delegate binder, because one of the things that your role as a delegate is that when you go back to your groups, you want to share this binder with them, and you want to share it with the next delegate that might be coming in. And I'll just mention, because it's not in here, but it is on our frequently asked question page, how long is the term for a delegate? You know, every group is autonomous. They can decide that for themselves. We like to suggest 2 years, just so that there's a continuity and enough fluency to pass it on to the next person. And so part of your role is that when you do vote on the next delegate or alternate delegate, that you're going to share this binder with them. So there might be things you already know or don't need to talk about today, but something that the next delegate coming in is going to need to know. So you want to share that binder. Okay. So pretty much everything in that section, I'm not going to bother reviewing because we kind of went over it for the most part in the concepts and the traditions. So we're going to go to page 14 down to the bottom of committees, number 10 committees. So prior to that, you have just the review of the right to petition, placing issues before the board. I would tell you, definitely read that, become familiar with it. So committees, there are two general types, standing and ad hoc. And what you're going to hear over the next 2 days are committee reports. So as you go to page 15 here, reports and notifications. Each committee or subcommittee is responsible for providing reports. And what we want to do with those reports as delegates, is by listening to the monthly board conference, you become aware of what all's happening in the fellowship. And hopefully you can report that back to your group, share about the different committees, because we need more people in service. Bottom line, the fellowship is just growing, 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 and there's just few people doing so much of the work. And so there's so much to be interested in. I mean, I think one of the reasons so many people are doing the work is like once you get into it, you really start to love it. And you're like, well, I want to do that too. And I want to do that too. And I want to do that too. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done that yet, listen to these reports, read these reports. You're probably going to find something, that you like. I know they were talking in literature about writing about PTSD. I'm like, I want to do that too. It's like, okay, when am I going to sleep? So there are the monthly reports that you're going to find on the ACA website. You're going to hear annual reports over today and tomorrow. And those are the ones, listen to. Share those back with your group. You're going to find on your survey a listing of some of these different committees to show us if you want to check off one that you might be interested in. I know that there's also stuff at one of the welcome tables there to help you learn about the different committees and see what you might be interested in. And there are the reports and the minutes, so all this is going to be available to that. Required roles, committees, and responsibilities. Traditions, concepts, and the operating policies and procedures manuals will supersede Robert's Rules of Orders. So as we're going to go into, you know, how does parliamentary procedure work? What are Robert's Rules of Order? How do I need to follow this stuff in order to express my voice's opinion? While it is important because it's going to help us resolve things quicker, don't be intimidated if you're like, I don't know what order I was supposed to say that in. It's more important that you voice your group's opinion than that you become overly concerned with, oh, I'm not going to say it right, okay? We have people here to help you. Greg's our chair. Miles is our parliamentary guide. So they're all going to help us convey what we need to say. Let's see. Delegates participate in the discussion and voting at the ABC as part of presenting the views of the group they represent. Okay, we're gonna go to the middle of page 15. And so in addition to representing their group, a delegate can serve in other ways. In January before the ABC, so these are pretty much kind of the roles that you now have as a delegate. In January, before the ABC, most of you have probably done this, the delegate may assist their group by shepherding the ballot process for these submitted proposals. So the delegate will assist in that ballot process of going to their group, reading everything off, getting that two-thirds vote for ACA to decide what proposals will become motions or may become motions. After the ABC, you can offer insights as well as experience, strength, and hope by participating in the ABC surveys. I'm going to definitely get into the survey. There's a survey here in your binder. It's going to be really, really helpful, as well as part of your service back to the fellowship to do those surveys. They may also be expected to provide a written report to their group. Again, in the back of this section, we're going to go through an example of a written report that when you go back, you can tell your group what happened. Some groups are going to want a formal report. Some it just may, you know, written. Some may just be that you're going to talk about what you saw here. It all depends on where your group's at, where you want to take them, what you can offer them. A delegate may also be inspired to volunteer for a WSO committee, and they may also offer their insights to first-time delegates the following year. So mentoring the incoming delegates or alternate delegates. The delegates who travel to an ABC may receive partial or full reimbursement from the group they represent, depending on the financial resources of the group. And you will also see in the frequently asked questions page, you know, it talks about some of the different ideas of how delegates got reimbursed. So groups have really come up with different ways to do that, because a lot of us don't have the money to send a delegate, and often it just ends up being the person that could afford to go. But we can get creative. And page 16. So now we're going to get into the ABC and delegate voting. That the proposals, we have two proposals on the agenda. They are not automatically motions. This is what the proposal will be read by the conference secretary, by Greg. The delegates will briefly discuss it for... We're going to have a two-minute time limit. Greg's going to tell you even more about that, the workings of that. But you will have each person 2 minutes to speak to the proposal. Any delegate can then choose to create a motion from that proposal, citing that it is a motion derived from which specific proposal number that was originally submitted and registered, and the registered group listed on the ballot. Okay, so they can make the motion about the proposal. Then another delegate must second the motion. And only if it's seconded will we then proceed. There will be a limited time provided for the discussion based on the number of proposals on the agenda and the remaining needs of the agenda. So each each proposal, like, although you may have 2 minutes to speak to it, you know, we're only going to allow so much time for each proposal because there's going to be other motions that will come up that aren't necessarily from the ones that your group voted from. Okay, the delegate only speaks once about a motion unless there's time remaining after all have spoken. So everybody's voiced their opinion and you're thinking, wait, there's something I didn't hear that I should have said. You can speak again if time allows, but again, it's going to only be 2 minutes, and that's the last time. So you can only speak twice should you speak to a proposal. The simple majority vote of the delegates is required for it to be passed and forwarded to the WSO board for possible action. And that action, you know, may come out in different ways. It might be referred to a committee. It could come out in however, the for example, if we decided to change the name or something, so might that go to a committee or might we decide it here over the weekend? And if the vote is not unanimous, the minority may make a case. If there are many people in the minority, a time limit for rebuttal will be set at the start. So, say a vote was made, the minority says, okay, this is how you guys have voted, but we want you to reconsider. We want you to think again. So the minority gets to then say, well, this is what we think. If anybody from the winning side, I'll put it that way, says, you know what, I didn't think about it that way when I voted, I'm gonna motion to reconsider. I think we should rediscuss this and vote again. As long as somebody seconds that, so it has to be someone from the majority, and as long as someone seconds it, are you saying no?
So we'll automatically have a revote if we have anyone that says that they're willing to change their vote at that point in time. And that's the way it'll work. We won't need a motion. We won't need a second. But if as a result of the minority shares, somebody in the majority says, you know, I'd like to reconsider, that's when we take a vote again.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be seconded. Okay. The majority is then asked if any one of them have changed their vote. If not, the original vote stands. If anyone has changed their mind, a new vote is taken. The results of that vote determine the conclusive outcome, and that only happens once. Okay, so per the bylaws, the group conscience obtained from the delegates in attendance shall provide direction and recommendations to the board for conducting the business of ACA-WSO. Okay, is also the board's responsibility to provide information about how proposals or suggestions will impact the fellowship in ways that delegates may not be aware of. And I'm going to read two things that are not in here. If your group's opinion has been expressed by a previous delegate, so when you've gone up for your 2 minutes to share, if your group's opinion has not been expressed by a previous delegate, I'm sorry, if it has been expressed, if somebody said something that reflects what your group wanted, you don't need to go back up and restate it, okay? So in the interest of time and moving along, if Josh said something and my group agreed with it, I'm not going to go up and say, yeah, I agree with Josh, my group says that too, okay? That'll be reflected when you vote, okay? If your group's opinion has not been expressed, then it is your right of participation, that concept, to bring it to the microphone and make sure that the delegation does know that opinion so that they can consider it when the vote comes. Okay. So here's a question. How does a delegate vote when you don't know what your group thinks about a specific issue? So, I was trying to think of an example. So if we're going to talk about changing the name of ACA, and I don't know what my group thinks about it, but that's what we've decided to vote on. You're going to vote what is best for the fellowship, okay? So you're thinking what is best for our fellowship as a whole when I make that vote, even though I don't necessarily know what my group wants to vote on. And you're also being equally guided by the steps, the traditions, the concepts, and the commitment to service. So you're going to refer back to that to decide how your group would want to vote. Okay, any questions from there? And then we're going to go to page 17, Robert's Rules of Order, the Guide to Resolving Disputes. I know we've kind of already reflected some of this. The rules balance of the right of the majority to decide with the right of the minority to be heard. Understand that studying and utilizing the principles in ACA's 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts can provide the most useful guide to protocol. We use parliamentary procedure when necessary to ensure that courtesy is given to members and to promote the orderly exchange of ideas. These procedures were developed to serve, not to stifle expression. Points of order. There are the three points of order, three points, point of order, point of information, and point of personal privilege. You can raise your hand at any time if you have one of those to make. As it says here, if you're not sure what's going on, you're not sure how things are, you can ask for that at any time. Information, again, and personal privilege would just means, you know, there's a personal need. It's too hot in the room or something like that. We had a question. Okay, thank you. Okay, so she was just asking me to, because I'm jumping a little bit ahead sometimes, so to just be a little bit more in clarifying where I'm at on the page. Okay, so did you need me to repeat anything? Berta, no. Okay, all right, thank you. Was there another question? No. Okay. All right, so we're on page 17 still, where it says the general rules of discussion and voting. And there's 1, 2, and 3. So we have spoken to them already that no one speaks for a second time unless everyone's already spoken. The time limits will be established and that a motion is passed by a simple majority. What is a motion? At the ABC, a motion is a formal proposal made by a delegate which asks that the WSO take a certain action. A motion can be made from the floor on any issue on any voting member, by any voting member of the delegation when there is no other issue being considered. So then we're down to minority opinion and the motion to reconsider. And that's your concept 5, that right to petition. And the commitment to service, so showing that special sensitivity. So we've talked a lot about that already. The reconsideration. And then we are on page 18. Yes.
Since what's in the manual disagrees with what I said about reconsideration, I'm going to go ahead and check the Robert's Rules. I read that the other night, and I read it differently than what we have written here, but I will double check and let you all know.
Okay. So page 19, things that can happen to a motion. Amending a motion. Referring a motion to committee, tabling a motion, postponing a motion, and calling the question, which is basically saying, let's vote. Let's decide whether or not to vote. And I know Greg's going to go over that as well, right? So I'm going to do that. And then page 19, board ratification. I think that's on day two. Yeah, day two, where you, again, meet the board members and those who are coming on and those who are leaving. And so I'm going to move you to page 21. And there you're going to see the delegates report. We're going to do a little bit of that right now. Do we know how many delegates we have attending? Frederick? Question for Frederick or anyone from the host committee? Jim? I don't think he's here either. At least 70? Okay, so you can fill that in now. This year we had at least 70 delegates representing the following countries. Can we hear who's here? What countries are here?
Canada.
That was the United States, I think. What other countries are here? Canada, the United States.
Israel.
Germany. England. Oh, Finland. Do we have England?
Denmark.
Estonia.
Lithuania.
Okay. All right. Sweden. Yes. Yay, Sweden. Thank you, Sweden. Okay.
So yes, and at present we have 7 remote delegates on from around the world.
Excellent. Okay. At the moment we have 7 remote on there. So then you're going to have your notes, you know, however you feel you need to be reporting things back. And then we're going to flip that over. You'll have your notes from day 2. And at the bottom of that page, it'll say, it is my hope that this information will be archived. And so the suggestion is that when you fill out that report, you may want to keep it with your group's monthly or bi-monthly, whatever, business meeting notes. So that a couple things will happen. So that you might motivate people to do service by seeing what's happening here, becoming aware of it. And that you'll have it to refer back to. And then you're going to see page 23. This is also going to be part of your report should you choose to do it this way. And we're going to do a mock proposal. And when we do that, you can have this out so you can see how you're going to fill it out when a motion is made. So from the mock, fake, pretend motion that we're going to do, we're going to have you get this out. And the survey, I think I will probably talk more about the survey tomorrow since we want you to fill it out when it's all done. And then you'll also see, before we go into the mock, the page 29, prayers, meditations, slogans, and affirmations. And that was created last year. Just so you know, when things might be getting a little confusing for you or you're getting triggered, these are just great things to remind ourselves to be centered and think about our spiritual principles, come back to the present moment, let that little child rest. Okay, so we have on page 20, and we're going to need Miles. Is Miles in here? We're going to need him in here to be our parliamentarian. Can you get Miles for us? Thank you. Okay. Okay. So this, let's look at our form, and we want to, so you have your form in front of you where it says number, motion, source of motion, voting result, discussion, vote yes or no. So this is going to be proposal number 101.
Now, if a motion is made from this, you're going to write down a note what the motion was. Then you're going to write down where that motion came from. Did it come from a committee? Did it come from a ballot? Or did someone from the floor make a motion? Then we're going to have the voting results. You're going to make any notes about the discussion that came up about it. And then the vote. I think mine might be a little bit different from yours. I hope I didn't totally confuse that. Okay. So, what we're going to refer to over and over again is that this proposal that we're going to read right now is not real. Okay? This is for us to play with and have fun with. Okay? Should your group decide to adopt it, that's up to them. They're autonomous. They can do this if they want to, okay? But this is just for fun. And I'm going to repeat that a couple times because it's been recorded, and if somebody jumps into listening to it in the middle of it, they're going to think, oh, we're not allowed to use Kleenex anymore, okay? So we don't want that to happen because that kind of happened last year and people thought we weren't allowed to have dogs or were allowed to have dogs or whatever. Okay, so this was submitted on November 28th, 2018 by Cry 100 from Teardrop City, Tissue, USA. We propose that members should bring their own Kleenex facial tissues to meetings. Everybody knows what Kleenex are, right? Because I know we have different countries, right? So those are your tissues. History and reasoning. Passing a tissue box becomes challenging for newcomers and all members. We become confused at theories of codependence, and it becomes a hot topic that distracts members from focusing on themselves during the meeting. If we, out of the kindness of our hearts, want to share tissues, then we're judged by others as fixing, controlling, or being overly concerned with others and not allowing the tearful person to feel their feelings, or we're distracting them mid-sentence. Furthermore, tissues are left behind when members don't clean up after themselves, and we're triggered having to clean up after others. Some members feel abandoned when they are not offered tissues, but other members are. Okay. Sound like any groups you know? Argument in favor. Passing a tissue box is disruptive to the flow of the meeting and becomes a divisive issue among members. There may be times when it is appropriate to offer a tissue. Bringing our own tissues allows us to be responsible and promotes self-care. Some members feel abandoned when they are not offered tissues, and other members are. We can avoid this problem by taking personal responsibility. Otherwise, members can use their shirt sleeve as we did in childhood. We don't have to feel ashamed or embarrassed any longer. Okay? WSO analysis. I really did take it to them. While WSO sympathizes with those who may forget to bring their own tissues, we also know of the disruptive nature of passing tissues during someone's share. Some of us have experienced ourselves where our thought process stopped because someone else was uncomfortable seeing our runny noses and hearing our sniffling. We agree that we are all capable of taking care of ourselves in this regard. If this proposal makes it onto the ABC agenda, we suggest a short discussion because tissues may not be available here at the ABC. I don't know that there's any in this room. Okay, so there were some comments about this, as this motion did pass the 2/3 majority that your groups voted, okay? And the comments we received with those votes were, what? Tears of joy. This discussion is long overdue. We vote yes on talking about this disruptive behavior. By the way, these comments all were written by Jim R. Any way to get the word out about our tissue use is good. The other comment, an enthusiastic yes. Another one, ACA is by attraction, not promotion. Let's not promote the use of tissues. Not sure how this would be implemented, but most modern organizations have such statements. Save a tree, use a sleeve. Okay. All right, so we're going to turn this over now to Miles and Greg. Are you going to get up at your post? Okay, I thought you understood that. Yes. You both need, you probably would need a microphone too, since you may go back and
forth. I got a loud voice.
You got a loud voice, okay. Okay.
Am I on now? Yeah, good. Okay. Okay, so we have a proposal who wants to open discussion on the proposal? Not yet.
Josh is standing. I think he has something to say.
Josh? Okay. They should be banned. We're talking about the motion that's on the table, proposal that's on the table, not a separate proposal. Okay.
My understanding is that the proposal on the table, I'm making a motion to, yes. So I would like to motion, along with the direction of the proposal, to ban Kleenex/tissue and people should bring their own. That's my motion.
That's okay. That's an inconsistent motion. You're banning Kleenex and you're not. So can you change that so that it's consistent internally? Because you're banning it and then you're telling them bring their own.
Oh, I'm banning. We should ban meetings from supplying them so that members, if they want them, would have to bring their own.
Okay. And your justification for that is that, is there anything?
Kleenex are dumb.
Okay.
That is my justification.
All right. Do we have a second for that motion? Christian? Okay, we have
Christian
a second.
Christian seconds it. Remember, right. This is a game. This is not real.
This is a game. We are not going to allow Kleenex under any circumstances. No. So now we go into discussion of the motion. So who, and you're allowed 2 minutes per. Now, the way we're really going to handle this, I'm going to interject this because it's important. The way we're really going to handle this in a meeting is for those proposals, yes, we'll entertain the motions from the floor during the course of things. But any other motions that'll be made during this conference, we're going to do a new procedure, we used it last year, which you'll submit those motions separately. It won't be you just stand up and make a motion, right? So in this case, though, we're actually talking about a proposal. So now we're at a point where, is there any discussion of this motion? Bonnie.
I'm Bonnie, Texas 081.
I think we can do both.
Excuse me, Bonnie has the floor. Stand there, and yeah, that's the other thing is we'll have two microphones in operation, and you just queue up at each microphone, and we'll go back and forth. So go ahead, Bonnie.
Okay, I'm Bonnie from Texas 081. Newcomers don't know they're supposed to bring their own tissues because they don't know we're going to make them cry. In fact, some newcomers, such as myself, when I came in, hadn't cried for years and didn't know there were tears in there. So I didn't have tissues. I didn't have a handkerchief. I didn't have sleeves. I was wearing a tank top. South Texas in the summer. And I'm not slobbering on my arm. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Go
ahead.
Hello. I think we should do both.
Introduce yourself?
My name is Alexandra E., and I'm representing Sweden 0163. I think we can do both. We can bring our own, because it saves trees and all of that. But as the previous person said, we can also provide them, because sometimes it's like a welcoming of the newcomers, and we can have them there too. And then we can train, like if I didn't get offered one and somebody else does, we can work on those issues, and it can be a terrible trauma, but we can get over it by believing in a power greater than ourselves. Thank you.
Thanks, Alexandra. Anyone else? Ann,
Texas 108. I bring up tradition 6 that says ACA ought never endorse, finance, or lend the ACA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. I believe the brand name of Kleenex should not be used.
Thank you, Ann. Are there any other comments? Okay. Go ahead, Carol.
I believe that if person wants a Kleenex or something to snot rag, bring their own. Bring a cloth one, and then we don't have to worry about the trees.
Right. Thank you, Carol. Next, do we have anyone else?
I'm Dave S., Wisconsin 112. And this kind of goes back to last year, because I have a highly absorbent a comfort animal, my highly absorbent tarantula that I like to use to blow my nose in. And I feel marginalized by not allowing to use my comfort animal as a tissue.
Jim B.
Yes, hello. I have a question or a comment from Christopher from New York 0203. And will the meeting be responsible for buying the tissues?
Okay.
Go ahead.
My name is Nicholas, and I'm representing the meeting WEEB 0064.
Nicholas, when you say that, would you hold that up?
Okay.
Seriously, folks, when you do this in the room, the secretary will be recording, so.
Yeah, and my point of discussion is sharing experience, strength, and hope on this issue. And this is my solution. I have it in my pocket, as my grandfather has it, and my father. And yeah, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura.
I'm Laura, CA 1040, and I'd like to call the vote.
Call a question. Call a question.
Call a question.
Call a question.
Okay, thank you. All right. Jody?
I'm Jody from Texas 0199, and I second that.
Okay. Normally, I
Jody seconded the vote.
Yeah.
So calling the question.
So that means we're going to, well, we have to, don't we have to vote on the calling of the question? We don't? Call, the question's called. Okay. So, and by the way, if I were sharing as a delegate, I would point out that at the last Spurs basketball game I was at in Texas, in San Antonio, HEB, our local grocer, handed out Kleenex throughout the set. All right. So now we'll take a vote. All those in favor, hold your paddle up with the, including the... Oh, that's right. We need to make the motion again. So could you read the motion again, please? I don't have my...
Well, are we repeating the motion that Josh stated?
Yes.
Josh, can you repeat that?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Thank you for... That was.
I think it was. meetings should not be banned from... Meetings should be banned from supplying tissues, and so therefore members who want or need tissues should have to bring their own.
Okay, so that's the motion on the floor, and now we'll take a vote.
Point of order.
Bill D, Florida 140. According to Robert's Rules of Order, as outlined in our delegates' manual, calling the question requires a vote.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. You must vote on calling the question.
We're going to do that, and we'll verify. But I believe that that's my experience, too. So, all right. Well, but we'll rely on our parliamentarian. I think it's in there, but I think we need to do it with Robert's rules, period. Okay, so we're going to vote on calling the question. Who is in favor of voting at this point in time? That's what calling the question means. Well, no, it says here, actually, Bill, calling the question does not require a debate. It just requires a second. Put your arms down right now until we solve it. There, what paragraph are you talking about? The one that I'm reading says...
Let me read page 18 because my notes are a little bit different from where things are might be in here. Okay. Tabling, postponing, and calling the question must be made in order, obtaining the floor or at the microphone, must be made without comment, requires a second, is not debatable.
And the paragraph before
that's
that...
That's on page 19, the top of page 19.
And the paragraph before that, calling a question brings an end to the discussion. Delegates then decide whether to proceed directly to a vote on the question, motion, or go on with the debate. If adopted, the delegation votes immediately on the motion under consideration. So there is a little bit of a waffle in that. That's why I'm saying that in the context of the paragraph that you're reading and the bullets below it, there's a difference in the two. And that's what we need to resolve that. But let's go ahead and we'll vote on calling the question right now. We'll just do it as a practice, and then if we see otherwise, we'll let you know.
But that was a point of order, which can be made at any time to clarify something.
Okay, so all in favor of calling the question. Okay, and at this point, we would count. We would have determined who is eligible to vote, and that's by the total number of these paddles that are here. Okay, all those opposed to calling the question? None opposed. All right, so then, what's that? Oh, we've got one. Okay. It's just calling the question. I don't know if...
Call the question is call the vote.
It's calling for the vote by calling the question. But the phrase is calling the question. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. So, no, that was a point of information. There's no opposed to calling the question. So... We will then proceed with the vote. All in favor of the motion as just read? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, 6. All opposed? Okay, so at this point, the motion carries. However, we had 6 people. And that's sufficient, typically, to have a minority opinion. I'm sorry, motion failed. Yes. Thank you. The motion failed, but we have 6 people that voted for it. So we'll go ahead and we'll ask for a minority opinion.
And remember, this is a game.
Yes.
This is not real. If you're listening.
We are not going to violate your right to carry Kleenex. You don't even have to register. Yes,
point of order.
Sharon.
When counting the votes, we didn't add the remote delegate votes. So that'll have to be added to the count.
Thank you. Did we get any?
We had 2 in favor and 2 abstaining.
All right. Bonnie?
Texas 081. Just a point of information or question. I'm not sure what you
point
call it.
Point of information.
Okay, point of information. When you're counting the delegates, are you counting the ones that are actually in the room?
Yes.
Or the number that are delegates, or in the room and virtual room? So if, like, I'm out in the call and I don't vote, you're not going to look for a majority of the registered delegates versus the delegates actually in the room?
If you're on a remote, you can hear me shaking my head, I'm sure.
Okay.
The answer is no, we don't count people that are outside the room as part of the potential vote.
Thank
only
you.
The ones that are inside the room. Or virtual vote. Josh, is this a point of information? Okay.
So, so simple majority, and what? So, I didn't hear us count for abstentions.
You're right. We had three abstentions, two abstentions, five abstentions.
But we didn't call for abstentions.
No. So there are two ways to handle that, and as I recall from Robert's rules, now I'm trying to remember which one's Robert's rules and which one's the ones I've used in the past. But in general, the abstentions are often not counted at all as not votes.
Mm.
And in some cases, they're counted as opposition.
Right.
Okay. And I believe in Robert's rules, they're not counted. But okay, that's okay. That's
so if we had like five yes, four no, and three abstaining, it would carry because it's simple majority of
correct.
The yeses plus the noes.
That's correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, so are there any other questions about this? Yes. We're actually going to, the question was, is what we're voting on going to be stated clearly before the vote? And the answer is we will have it shown on the screen. And Jim, will that be displayed to the remote viewers as well?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
The question is, will the motion that's made be displayed to the remote for the remote viewers as well, or will they just have to hear it verbally?
Yes, we will be displaying things at some point other than the lovely logos you're seeing now. So sorry we're not more coordinated, but we will come up to speed and be presenting the motions and some of the presentations as well.
Thank you. Good question. They're all good questions. Okay. If there are no other questions, then we will conclude the voting. Oh, Carol? Oh, I forgot. I asked and I didn't follow through on it. So minority opinion. Go ahead. Did you have a point of information?
Yes. Could I ask this question?
Sure.
When you talked about the voting numbers and you said only people present, delegates
right.
present, does that mean you don't count the remote voting?
No, I was corrected. Yes, it's present plus remote.
Oh, good.
I consider remote as present if they're listening
good.
In.
Okay.
It's outside the room.
Oh, I get it. Okay, thank
you're
you.
You're outside consideration. Okay, go ahead, Carol. Now we'll do the. Now we'll do an example of minority report.
So, to be clear.
Mike, please.
Oh, to be clear, oh, yes, Carol C., Region 2. To be clear, what the motion failed to not allow Kleenex or tissues in the room. Okay. Or have them.
It was to forbid the group from purchasing
group.
It.
Right.
And
okay.
Right.
I think that having Kleenexes in the room that the people can hand to someone is just very distracting. I have been, you know, I've been talking maybe for 20 or 30 minutes in a room and then they hand me a tissue because I've been crying buckets and I just really resent being stopped. after 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay.
So remember that your template there, where you're going to be writing down the motion that Josh made, right? You're going to be writing down notes about the discussion, because this is what you're going to tell your group about what happened, like how this all came about and how it came to the decision.
Now, it may be that if there's a very contentious discussion, or at least I won't say contentious is not the right word, but because it's taken wrong, but it's the right word in if you use it by definition. If there's a lot of discussion pro and con in the conversation, we may have more than one minority report. We may have two or three, because there may be different reasons that people have that they bring to voting against the motion. And if there's a lot of discussion, then we want to hear those. There was something else I was going to say, and of course, I don't remember it because I was laughing inside. Yeah, that was where I was going. Thank you. So at this point, we would ask, does anyone, as a result of hearing the minority opinion, does anyone want to change their vote? Okay. So in this case, automatically the measure is voted down, disapproved. And we, as I said, by the time we really get started, we'll let you know about how we're going to handle reconsideration, because there are actually two different periods of reconsideration. There's the reconsideration as a result of the minority report, and then there's a reconsideration later on during the same conference. And we need to clarify which of those is handled how. All right. Back to you.
Okay, we're good. That's it. That's the end of this. Unless there's any questions. Okay. That's today's delegate training. Yes, Alexandra. Where was the source of the proposal? The source of the proposal was from the ballot, and the motion came from the floor, correct? Yes, under source you would write ballot, and then you have motion discussion. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is a little different from the one that I had. Okay. All right. So, Jim R., you going to come up and move us into whatever we're doing next? Oh, we're taking a break?
Before we take a break, this is a good time. Because of the experience we just had, do you want to give a demonstration of use of the microphone now?
Hello. Just keep it close to the mouth and just talk right in, and I keep the levels. And don't be afraid of your own voice, because everything is going to be nice and level. So if you think it's too loud,
don't do that.
Okay. And there's a small stand on the table, so you can just put it there. Now I'm in the corner.
Well, and as I recall, when you were telling me, you said just hold it up to your chin, correct? That'll be a good mark to.
Okay, so before we take a 10-minute break, I just want to say one time that was a game. That you can do whatever you feel like you still need to do with Kleenex in your particular meeting. Okay, so we'll do 10 minutes. I have 10:32, so we'll be back at 10:42. And I'm sorry? 10:30, so we'll be back at 10:40. And I just want to remind everybody that we are going to be prompt as we move through breaks and everything that we start. We're going to, and we are a little bit ahead, so that's great.